Well, they don't call it the Speedway for nothing. Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly. So, this week we are going to discuss, we've got the upcoming Iowa 300. We didn't have any race activity this past week.
No track action.
So we've got the Iowa 300, the Toronto GP. We're going to debate between oval and road courses.
See what side we both end up on.
Yep. We've got some fun stuff for the shit we didn't make up section. And then since we're going to have a little bit of free time, we thought we'd tell you a little bit more about ourselves.
Because you're all dying to know about who you're listening.
It's true. We're pretty fucking fascinating.
We are. We're fantastic people.
Yeah.
All right. Iowa. Speed. I'm so excited.
Another oval course.
Such a speed whore.
I know. We love the speed.
I do. So, Iowa, it's an oval. It's a tri-oval.
A tri-oval? What the fuck does that even mean?
It's a NASCAR thing.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's shaped like a D.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's apparently 3 points to it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's a tri-oval. It is 0.875 miles.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's lap speed, about 18 seconds.
Yeah, that's fast.
We're going to get fast.
Fast. How many laps do they do? Do we know?
Well.
Or how many miles is it? What is it? The 300? It's 300, so. So they're going to be doing more than 300 since it's not quite a full mile. I'm not doing the math on that.
Damn it. I wish you'd do the math on that.
No. Okay. I'm not awake enough. I'm sorry, guys. I work evening shift. So I woke up, had a beer in the shower because I needed it today, and then came over here. So when I'm a little more awake, I can do math a little quicker.
A little better than that.
But not today.
All right. So
plus, I'm a little hungover from our 4th of July celebrations yesterday.
Hey, man. Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America.
Yeah.
Although, we want to take a moment and talk to people who abuse fireworks on the 4th of July. I work at a trauma ICU, and so I see lots of people have blown off their hands and fingers and have severe burns and whatever from being dumbasses with fireworks. So, A, have water close by. B, don't mix fireworks and alcohol. And C, stop fucking setting them off late at night. For those of us who have to work the next day.
5 a.m. Can you stop it?
Jesus, I mean, fuck. We get that you're excited to be an American.
I love it all about that shit. But I also have to work.
Yeah. No, that shit used to drive me insane when I was on day shift. And I'd have to be at work at 7 a.m. to take care of critically ill patients.
No.
And people are still shooting off fireworks at 1 o'clock in the morning. Because you know how you don't want to be tired?
Your nurse.
Your ICU nurse.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Nope. We need our sleep so that we can keep you alive when you blow your hand off and then come in.
I just, you know, it's 2 hours after sunset here in India. State law. So you all know. State law.
Two hours
after sunset.
It's about 11.
Yeah. So I shouldn't hear anything after midnight. I'll give you an hour. To wrap it up, but no.
No. I was still hearing people at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
I'm like, what is this fuckery?
And it's not even good fireworks. That's
no, it's just the loud ones are the ones that, like, spark on the ground. But unless it's going up in the air and making a pretty show like the professional ones, I don't want to fucking see it.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it.
No, and I am. My dog that I used to have, he passed away a couple years ago, but he was terrified of fireworks. And so I would just dread the 4th of July. Because I'd have to give him Benadryl and hope that he would sleep through it. Because otherwise, he just could not calm down. I mean, he was terrified of thunderstorms as well. Any kind of loud noises like that.
Oh.
And so I dreaded the 4th of July with him. Because, So be conscious of your neighbors that might have dogs that are scared.
Yeah.
Or if you have neighbors that are maybe vets and might have PTSD.
Or those of us who have to get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah. Or those of us who are just big assholes like me and Molly. Because I will come out of my house and scream at you like white trash.
Oh, I yelled at people when I was driving home yesterday.
Yeah, because they're setting fireworks off in the middle of the goddamn road.
Blocking the neighborhood streets. They had to be in the middle of my street.
In the middle of the street, yeah. In the middle of houses.
Oh, I became that crazy lady.
Oh, yeah.
Windows down, yelling.
Yeah, no, I've done that. I will, like, especially if you wake me up, I will get out of bed and come down and unleash just a fury of white trash anger.
That's, I like that. White trash anger.
White trash anger.
I really
which,
like that
for anybody who knows somebody who's white trash, it's a whole different kind of anger.
It's a very fun anger.
It is. It's like in between, like, a guy fight and a girl fight. Like, they always say girl fights are worse because there's no rules. like guys at least have a few rules, like they're not going to kick each other in the nuts and whatever. Girls have no rules. Like that's why you see girls taking off their jewelry and shit, because we will rip your earring out of your head. Like we don't care. We will pull hair.
Yep.
And scalp with it. There are no rules. So that's kind of the difference between like regular anger mom voice and white trash anger, is that there's this hint of, I might stab you. You don't know. You don't know.
It could happen. Anyway.
Well, I guess now I can't, because now it kind of is premeditated.
Yeah, you did say that out loud.
I did.
I'm going to go ahead and say don't say that out
loud. Okay. Yeah, I won't say that again.
All right, so back to Iowa.
Back to Iowa.
Back to
Iowa. So, happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America.
And you still have fireworks that you didn't get set off?
Sorry about your life.
Save them for the fucking weekend, please.
Please.
Thank you. The Iowa 300, which we're going to call the Corn 300.
It's because while there may be more than corn in Indiana,
there's not in Iowa. I've been there, actually. And don't get me wrong, Iowa's a nice state.
Yeah.
It really is. And one of the coolest things about Iowa that most people don't know, mid-grade gas is the cheapest.
Ooh,
yeah, in the entire state. I don't know why, but it is. So, like, the lowest grade, like the 87, is the cheaper. It's the cheapest everywhere, except in Iowa. The 89 is cheapest.
Maybe the corn?
Must be.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know, but found that interesting.
Well, the Corn 300.
The Corn 300.
Corn 300. Let's see. Let me read a quote from last year's winner, Newgarden.
Joseph Newgarden,
because I think this kind of sets the tone for the race. He said, quote, "It's a very physical place to drive. There's no stop in your wheel, and you're always turning, which makes it very difficult to get through an entire race." So I think we're going to have, like, a stamina issue.
I think we probably are going to have a stamina issue.
I mean,
although Newgarden's too young to be having any stamina issues.
I mean,
but
that leads in. Do you think it's going to be a young man's race or an older man's race?
I think it's, I don't know that it's necessarily going to be about old or young. I think it's going to be about mindset and experience.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah, I think that the older drivers might do better just because of their experience level.
Yeah.
And because, you know, they can get into that mindset of, you know, focus and this is what we're going to do. And I, you know, see the prize at the end. So
that's why it's always better to date older men.
Well, I used to think that, but now I'm 32 and not married, and so my thoughts on how much older I'll go have changed. It used to be, you know, oh, 35's not that old. I mean, and now I think, oh, well, 35's not old at all, because shit, I'm going to be 35 in a little more than 2 years. But now when I get on online dating, I will look at somebody and I'll think, Jesus, they look old, and then I realize that they're only 36. I'm like, fuck, I'm pretty old. But yeah, if you're in your 20s, date up, because they've got money.
True.
And it's always nice to date somebody who has, I mean, I've for the last decade, I'm into a guy who has his own house, a solid job. Like, those things are panty droppers for me. Okay. You got a nice car. Actually, it doesn't have to be nice.
No, it's
just have to be
off.
Reliable. Yeah, a paid off car.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a house, a steady job. That's a panty dropper for me.
Talk dirty to me.
I know. It used to be, oh, I want him to have this and this and this. No, my list has dwindled down to just absolute necessities.
Food, shelter,
yeah.
Transportation.
And Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Okay, that's where we're at now.
It gets a little desperate out there, ladies. It's okay. Don't worry.
It's all right. We're still cute. And we don't look our age.
No. Still get carded.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Which is what I like.
I still get hit on my 25-year-old, which is flattering, but useless. Because... yeah, 25-year-olds are just not grown up enough.
No.
For me.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you also, what did you say this track looks like?
A D.
Oh, a flat tire.
A flat tire. Well,
it does
kind of
look like a flat tire.
It does. And I've had some experience with flat tires. And I was like, oh, it's a flat tire. Okay. It's like my car.
Yeah. Because you never change the tires.
No. Again, reason why I'd never be a good driver. Time to change the tires. No. They can go another 50 miles. It's fine.
I'm a little bit better. Okay, so past winner. So Newgarden won last year, which that's an interesting quote from him talking about how hard it is to get through the race, even though he was the winner. So obviously it is going to be something that, you know, is a factor.
Yeah,
is the
I
endurance
think so.
Of it.
I
well,
think
so. You're doing, yeah, because they're doing a lot of laps. I mean, they do a lot of laps at the Indy 500, but it's a much longer course.
Yes.
So this one, I mean, you're just constantly, there's no real... you know,
stop.
Time to kind of get your bearings.
Agree.
Molly drew up a nice little map, by the way.
We'll put this, you know.
We'll put it online. But
I feel like I made notes.
But she drew up a nice map, and she's calling between 3 and 4 the stuff it section. Between turns 3 and 4, because it's right after the nice long straightaway, so we think that that's where a lot of people are going to push to pass. Not use the push to pass, because we don't do that,
right.
But where they're going to push their cars a little extra to pass. And we think that they're either going to succeed or they're going to stuff it into the wall, which
maybe.
Some drivers, we enjoy when they stuff it into the wall, as long as, you know, we don't want them to be
Nobody
hurt,
wants
but,
to be hurt.
But we do enjoy
be nice.
Watching
just
people
saying.
Stuff
just
into
saying.
The wall.
Just
saying.
Yeah, so New Garden won it last year. RHR won it 2 years in a row, 15 and 14.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, everybody's favorite Canadian.
Everybody's favorite Canadian, Hinchcliffe, won it in 2013.
By the way, happy 150th birthday, Canada.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, they celebrate, which is cute, but then America was like, hold my beer. No, wait, don't hold my beer. It's the 4th.
Yeah, no, because we don't put down our beers for the 4th here in America.
No.
Also, did your neighbors do this? Going back to the fireworks thing.
Yes.
My neighbors, every time after they set off a ridiculous number of fireworks, and they would just yell, America!
I don't think I heard that.
Oh, my God. I heard America yelled more than 200 times yesterday evening.
It's very patriotic in Speedway, though.
It's very patriotic, but I should have turned it into a drinking game.
Ooh. Next year.
Next year. Every
next
time
year.
I hear somebody yell America
on
the 4th of July.
Yes.
Yep, that's our
drinking
game.
Best
drinking
game ever. Feel free to use it. Hashtag it out.
Yeah.
4th drinking game, or America drinking game.
America drinking game,
America
yeah.
drinking game.
America.
Yeah. Please spell it America.
America.
M-E-R-I-C-A. Don't start that shit with an A.
Yeah, no.
No.
America.
America.
All right, so, what do we got? Graham Rahal, and was that be EJ Visa?
That'd be Ed Jones.
Ed Jones. Okay, you just put EJ. I'm like EJ Visa.
Sorry, you know I have weird shorthand.
That's fine. We're still learning each other's shorthand. Okay, so Ed Jones with Honda and Ed Carpenter for Chevy tire tested at Iowa.
They tire tested.
Which, by the way, if you don't know this and you live in a race town, and I recently learned this, you can.
I was just so disappointed in you. It's
I know there were two things yesterday that Molly knew that I didn't know. The first is that you can go to tire testing for free.
Yes.
If you're near a track where they're doing that. The second is I didn't know what FAP meant. FAP. Because there was a new border on Facebook that said, please don't FAP to my picture. And I was like, the fuck does that mean?
I knew it and you didn't.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, we're not going to explain it on here. You can look it up.
Not on your work computers, though.
Yeah, it's not safe for work. So what do you want to talk about with Honda's aero kit?
That I'm really upset about it. Because you know I'm hashtag Team Honda all the way.
I know you are.
Way.
I know you are.
All the way. They have been having chassis issues, I don't know, since forever. They have the faster engine, but their chassis and their aero kit is not working out for them this year.
It's really not. They're
not.
No.
But I think saving grace for Honda next year is they move over to the universal kit from, and I'm always going to butcher the name of this, Dallara.
Dallara.
Dallara. I always want to add an I.
You do.
And everything.
Yes.
So, but next year they have the 2018 specs, which we'll talk about probably later on after the season.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know it was okay to be sexually attracted to a car. And I saw the designs and I was like, that's really
I mean,
pretty.
I don't know that it is, you know, maybe socially acceptable, quote unquote.
I'm sure there's some internet sites.
But, I mean, I'm sure there's a fetish for that. But I get that. I'm attracted to some cars. I mean, just the sounds that they make when they go around the track gives me ladywood.
It does.
No, and I mean, and I'm always excited when they bust out a new design and we can check it out. And,
it's all.
You know, they're just hot.
Whole design, it's universal, so every team's going to run it at Honda or Chevy regardless.
Interesting.
So now it'll just be the engines and speed, so that's, I don't know how that's...
I feel like it takes, I mean, there's pros and cons to that,
yeah.
But it's interesting because I think everybody's going to start from a similar playing field, but I don't know if they necessarily need to at this level of
that's
racing.
That's true. I think it'll come down more to engine speed and driver ability.
It will come down more to driver ability, but I think, I don't know, I kind of like the variants.
Like the rivalry.
Yeah, and I like the variants, you know, the small variants in the different cars and how they run. I think that's some of the fun. But I'm also a pretty big nonconformist, so.
That's true. I get that. I don't know how I'm landing yet. I'm going to have to we'll talk about it later, but
we'll get in more into that later. So,
so there were some tire issues.
Oh.
Yeah, Graham didn't get a lot of chance to test, but he had noticed some tire wear a little bit.
Mm.
Awkward tire wear, and I was like, oh God, no, not Texas.
Yeah, no Texas. We don't want to make this a cluster for 300.
No, we already have that one.
We already have, yeah. That was already Texas.
No.
So, interesting.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have... Although, I'm going to predict that we have...
Lots of crashes. Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna predict that whether there's issues with tires or not, that lots of people are going to be stuffing it into the wall on this race.
Some shit's going to go down.
So, here. Let me... I'll do the math on how many laps we're going to have, but...
Yes.
Not in my head. I'm using my calculator.
I'm not mad at that.
All right. So, 300 divided by, what was it?
0.875.
Yeah. So, 343 laps.
That's all right.
Okay. So, in 343 laps, well, let me think. I thought the Indy 500 is 200 laps, and we had a lot. I mean, a decent number of yellows and a red. So, I'm going to say we're probably going to have 8 yellows.
Wow, 8 yellows. Okay.
I'm going to say 8 yellows. Well, because, again, we just came off of a road course.
That's true.
And also, it's a shorter course, which apparently Newgarden does better on the shorter ovals than he does on the longer ones.
I feel like there's a joke there somewhere.
I mean, there's some serious innuendo there, that's for sure.
You know I love my innuendos.
Oh, as do I.
I know.
As do I. So, yeah, I'm thinking we're going to have a lot of yellows, just because I think there's going to be a lot of attempts to pass, because... It's such a quick circuit that you're really going to have to push it hard. So
I mean, we've been, let's see, I'm awkwardly starting, we've been doing this probably 17 and a half minutes. If it's an 18-second lap, I mean, that's a lot of laps already.
Yeah.
I can't do that math, but
I know. If you gave it to me in seconds, I could do it.
Nope, not going to happen.
Let's see, 18 times 6, not doing that math. Still not awake enough.
Nope.
I'm only in my second beer today, kids. Yeah, I do math better after a few years. So, by the way, for anybody, we sometimes post clips of us. And for those people who can't see, you won't hear Molly crack any beers today because she's drinking wine out of a box.
I'm being a little classy. Excuse me. It's a rosé out of a box.
It's a rosé out of a box. Because we are classy AF here.
I just went basic white girl classy.
You did.
I did. You know, we had a bunch of beers yesterday.
I imagine. I love wine. You know that.
I know you love your box wine.
I do. Well, and actually, I'm not even drinking real beer. I'm drinking Lime-O-Ritas.
Wow.
Which have a higher alcohol content, by the way. So for anybody who wants to knock on those, they're fucking delicious.
For sure.
And they're efficient.
Yes.
They're efficient. That's what they are.
That's why we roll out with them.
Yeah.
At the 500.
Yeah. And they're littler.
You can fit more in the cooler.
You can fit more in the cooler. Yeah, exactly.
Did we check coolers if they're allowed at our races we're going to?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, y'all. We almost had a panic moment.
Yeah, sorry. We would not be going to any races if we couldn't take coolers to the places.
No.
Okay, so then we've got the Toronto GP after that, so it goes back to a road course.
Yeah.
And Molly's got a nice little drop of that as well. It's 11 turns. Turn one... is a right-hand turn. It's a pretty intense right-hand turn.
Well, it might also be my hand drawing.
Oh, okay.
But no, it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
It's straight to a turn, and it's at the Princess Gate, which is over here somewhere. I don't know. It's Canada.
Canada, the Princess Gate. Sure.
Whatever.
I'll go with that.
Do they have princesses?
No, but they still respect the monarchy.
Okay. So, like, Kate is their princess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Kate would be their princess. So, yeah, no, they still respect the monarchy, because there's... Yeah, there's certain things that they do that's, like, still technically... I mean, like, they're their own country, but there's a lot of, like, British...
I mean, whatever, it's okay.
Yeah.
We still see
stuff in there. Yeah, in their country. Well, and we love their prime minister.
He's so adorable.
Oh, my gosh. And he's a really great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a really great guy.
Really,
and
like,
he's super
forward
cute,
thinking.
Too.
So cute.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, very forward-thinking, very progressive. And he's a great family man. Like, you always see him out, and he's active, and he's with his wife and his kids. And
mm-hmm.
He just seems, yeah, I'm like, I wish, I'm 100% jealous of Canada's prime minister. Because
yeah, a little bit right now.
We won't really get into politics, but I hate our representative for our country.
Right now, yes.
Yeah, he's a fucking reality star toddler. Most people learn how to, I don't know, center themselves. Like, so I heard on a different podcast that I listened to this week that,
cheating on our podcast. podcast?
I'm not cheating on our podcast. I just listen to lots of podcasts.
I know, I do too.
And so, anyhow, it was somebody that said that when they were in med school, or when they were, you know, a resident or whatever, that or an intern, that their like attending said, "You speak and then you think. You should reverse that, or maybe just think." And I'm like, somebody needs to have that conversation
Ooh,
with Donald Trump.
I like that.
You speak and then you think. You need to reverse that.
I'm about ready to write that down.
I know, right? I was like, that's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, that was Z-Dog MD.
Yeah,
if there's any medical people listening, you should listen to Z-Dog MD because he's hilarious and he talks about issues that are relevant to healthcare workers.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really have anything to do with our show. I just really like it.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, okay, so back to
Toronto.
The princess.
Princess Gate, which is here on 1.
All right.
And this, from what I was reading, because, you know, we learn everything through Google.
Yes.
That turn 1 is where a lot of people will try and overtake, because that's that first turn coming off the start-finish line, and I guess that's the back-ish stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we grew up in oval racing, so to me that's a back stretch.
Yeah. It might be the front to them, but yeah.
Whatever, Canada.
Yeah. The main straightaway to me is the longest one.
That's true. Well, I think that's this down here between 2 and 3, there's a longer straightaway.
Yeah, so I would definitely agree with you. The other one's more their back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So past winners. Oh, and it's 1.7 miles long.
Yes, and there are 11 separate turns in there.
That's a lot of turns.
It's a lot of turns.
It's a lot of turns.
Some little tight turns, little tight corners.
Well, and we had a good showing at the Kohler GP.
Yeah,
so
fantastic showing.
I hope that some of the people who had issues with their downforce. With their downforce and just issues with their car, you know, not being able to keep it on the track, I hope that they are able to keep it together a little bit better on this course.
I think she's talking to you, TK.
I am talking to you, TK. And Sato.
I don't believe they're listening to this, though.
Oh, they're definitely not.
No.
Well, I mean, if TK was listening to this, I definitely have an order of protection from him, too. I'll tell you that. I've made too many comments.
Maybe not him. Maybe his wife.
On his behalf. Okay, so past winners, Will Power. Your boy, Will Power.
Hey, Will Power.
2016 in Newgarden, and Newgarden won in 2015. Strong showing from Penske.
Strong showing from Penske, always.
Although Newgarden wasn't with Penske in 2015. No. He was still Sarah Fisher Racing. And then 2014.
There apparently was a time where it was two different races. That's,
yeah.
That's why it's... Did I look that up? Nope.
So Conway and Bourdais. And then in 2013 it was Dixon, and he won both races when they still had two races.
So that's pretty badass.
That is pretty badass.
Pretty badass. So we'll see what happens. Tight turns. So I think we're going to see a lot of crashes and spin-offs. And this is a couple of weeks in advance. And given our schedule the next few weeks, we thought we'd go ahead and just run it down.
Yep, just give a quick
overview. We might add a little bit more next time to talk to you all, but kind of wanted to get that. Honda, by the way, should have all of their engine problems fixed by Toronto.
Well, for your sake, I hope they do.
I hope so. But, I mean, I'll have to keep in mind that engine issues and the chassis issues, two separate things. So the aero kit won't be fixed. I think the aero kit, they're not going to change this year.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
You don't think they're going to attempt to...
I think they're going to mess with it. I think they're going to monkey with it. But as far as the whole overall design scheme, I don't think so.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they're not going to redo the entire design scheme,
right.
But...
I think, yeah, there'll be a lot.
I think they'd be smart to maybe switch out some pieces.
See what's going on.
Yeah.
Honda, come on.
So, but I mean, we're more than halfway through the season, so... But still, I mean, they still want to get points and
yeah,
money.
That's true. It's all about the dollars.
It is. So, ovals versus road courses. We've come to like road courses more.
We have, but
at the end of the day...
I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm a speed whore.
I'm a speed whore, too.
You
know that. I love the ovals. And really, at the end of the day, the Indy 500 is the best race there is.
Do you?
I'm the best there is, plain and simple.
I wake up in the morning and I
piss
excellence.
That's how I feel about the Indy 500. it's just, there's just no comparison.
Do you think... I know it's hard to divorce ourselves from where we live, but should we have lived, you know, somewhere near Kohler or, you know, up near Watkins Glen or some of the other famous road courses? Would that have changed your mind?
I don't feel like it would have.
Okay.
And my reasoning for that is because no other races get the notoriety and the fans that the Indy 500 does, and so I don't think these other areas have the influx of people into their neighborhoods like the Indy 500 does.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, inside the track is approximately half it's the equivalent of half the population of the entire city of Indianapolis, which is like the 13th largest city in the United States. And so I don't think, you know, these other races don't ever sell out. I mean, which the Indy doesn't typically sell out either. We did for the 100th, but, you know, we don't typically sell out, but we still typically sell a lot of tickets. And, you know, we consistently have more than 300,000 people in there, and these other places can't even fit 300,000 people. So, true. Whereas we can hold, I mean, the stands themselves can hold 300,000.
Yeah.
The grandstands themselves can hold 300,000, and then you can get approximately another 200,000 on the infield.
Okay.
I think that I would have enjoyed it. I would have probably enjoyed road courses more had I lived in one of those neighborhoods, but I don't think that my love of racing would have been nurtured from such a young age.
You know, I think I like it. As we've discussed, we've really come to love road courses, and it's really only been this year, and I think it's because we started to pay attention to the road courses a little bit more this year. But at the end of the day, a road course, they're only, like, the speeds they hit at a road course versus the speeds they hit at an oval, there's such a difference.
There is.
You know, a road course is great. You see the strategy and the passing and when you're going to pass, but at the end of the day, they're just out there kind of driving on a road.
Yeah.
The main goal isn't speed. It's how can I maneuver in and out. When you're on an oval, it is balls to the wall, hit it.
Yeah.
Put the pedal, you know, press it to the floor.
Yeah, pedal to the metal, like, let's...
Let's just go.
Yeah, win it or wreck it.
Exactly.
Well, and something else, so a friend of mine, Ryan Mercer, who has been listening to the show and has been giving us lots of hints and tips. Hi, Ryan.
That's right.
And so, because we're pretty new to this, and he listens to, I don't know, like 100,000 podcasts a week. So we have gotten some excellent advice and pointers from him. And so one of the things that he said to me, because we were just discussing different things, is that another thing about Speedway that I don't know is true, I don't know if this is or is not true, and if any of our listeners are from a town where they have other races, you can let us know. But basically, starting in elementary school in Speedway, you're pretty much indoctrinated, is the word he used, into knowing about the Indy 500. We literally spend time in school learning about the history of the track. We have four elementary schools in Speedway, and they are named Fisher, Allison, Newby, and Wheeler. And that's after the four founders of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I went to Carl G. Fisher Elementary School, who was the big man behind everything. He got the other three on board, but it was his idea initially.
Yeah.
And so we have, you know, pictures of the four founders everywhere. We learn about them. I mean, starting in kindergarten, we start learning about, you know, why our school has the name that it has and what their role was in starting this track and all these different fun pieces of history about it. And an interesting thing about people from Speedway is that there's really no middle ground on how they feel about the Indy 500. People either love it or they fucking hate it.
Huh.
And I think that goes back to the fact that we hear all about it growing up, you know, through the month of May and everything. I mean, every single year in school. And some people just really hate the crowds and really just don't, you know, it's just nothing that they like. And the other people just absolutely embrace it and love it. But there's not really any middle ground there. So I think that that makes a difference as well. And we also have a lot of pageantry. With the Indy 500.
So much better.
That, yeah, I mean, we literally celebrate as a city. I mean, the town of Speedway and the city of Indianapolis, we celebrate for an entire month.
Which, if I can just take a moment here, I grew up a little bit in Speedway, moved away from Speedway, moved to other towns. If anybody is listening, the Indianapolis 500 takes place in the town of Speedway, not the town of Indianapolis. If you say that in front of me, you will get punched.
Yes, throat punch.
I have yelled at people, like, higher up people who have held positions of power, like, oh yeah, the track, it's over in Indianapolis. And I was like, what
the fuck
did
is?
You just say?
No.
Like, fight me outside. It's in Speedway.
It's in Speedway.
Just want to put
we are our own town. We have our own police and fire department.
It's a whole thing.
We have our own library. We have our own water. We do not have our own court. We do have to go to Beach Grove
for
traffic court. But
that's my area.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on over.
But yes, we are our own entity.
We are.
And there's so many things that as a school system, we participate in. The 500, I mean, the whole month of May is called the 500 Festival.
Yeah.
And the day before the Indianapolis 500, they have the 500 Festival Parade, and it's in downtown Indianapolis. And the Speedway High School Marching Band performs in this parade. And I did that for 4 years.
Now, somebody on this podcast was the...
I played French horn, and so I played the mellophone in marching band my freshman and sophomore year, and then I was drum major my junior and senior year. And
I'm badass, I'm just saying.
It is pretty badass. I mean, I felt like a badass. We felt pretty cool.
You should. You should.
We also felt hot as hell because that parade route is 3.1 miles long. And you have to march to the parade route and then on the parade route. So it's really like 3.5 miles of fuckery. But it is cool. You know, that short stint where you actually pass the local sports announcers who are, you know, on the news and announcing, like, that part's cool. The rest of it, you're like, I am so fucking hot. Get me out of this polyester banyan.
I hate this. You guys also get to march on the track, right?
We sure do.
Oh, that's awesome.
On race day, I think they changed the order of when the Speedway band comes out. We used to kick off the pre-race pageant.
Yeah, I think you guys are less close to the end now.
I feel like in the middle.
Oh.
But it used to be that, like, 8 a.m., we were on the track, and we were the first ones on the track. Which meant that in 4 years of high school, no one in my family ever saw me march on the track. Not a single person. Most of people in my house aren't even up at 8 a.m., much less at the track. In fact, my mom's best friend, Zora, her husband, Oli, was always at the track, like, when the gates open, damn near. And he was the only person to ever see me. And he actually took pictures of me, which I really appreciated. Marching by, and he yelled at me, and I was like, "Oh, somebody I know!" In fact, we would march so early that we would park at this. We get dropped out of the school, march to the track, march around the track. Which, by the way, that banking in a car, kosher. That banking when you're marching, bullshit.
Oh God, yeah.
Complete.
Oh
fuckery.
Yeah, I've ran and walked on that track. It is not fucking.
No, that banking is no joke. Mm-mm. No joke. And so then I would hand my instrument off. We always had like a box truck.
Yeah.
Because we would get free tickets from the IMS for marching, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But usually I would sit with my family, and so you could either, you know, march back to the school and then get a ride back, which at that point wasn't happening. Nobody was coming to pick me up because it was too late in the day.
Yeah.
Traffic was a bitch. And my dad would only take me, he would only do one run, because he was a police officer, and so we'd take his cop car, and he'd run lights and sirens if necessary through traffic. But typically, you know, when you have to be dropped there at 6 o'clock in the morning, there's really not any traffic in the 13 blocks between my house and the high school. Whatever an issue. But he was only to be counted on for one ride. My family. They really are nice people who love
me. Oh, they're
great
people.
I think. Yeah.
Depends
but
on the day.
Depends on the day. But yeah, so I would hand off my instrument or my my mace once I was drum major and, you know, change out of my band uniform. And then I would walk back home to my house from 30th and Georgetown, which...
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, so it's about a 20-block walk from there.
That's a worse walk.
To my mom's house. Stone cold sober, because I didn't really party in high school anyway, and we just marched around. So I know from other friends who were either drinking or hungover on race morning, it's about the worst thing you can do. You will puke.
Yeah.
You absolutely will. With the heat, there is nothing worse for a hangover than heat. And so, yeah, so Stone Cold Sober would walk back to the house where people would just barely be getting up.
Yep.
Sometimes I'd even have time to take a nap.
Nice.
And then, especially the years that the race didn't start till 1. And then, yeah, I'd eat breakfast, chit chat, and they're like, "Oh, how was it?" Yeah, I marched around. None of you fuckers saw it.
Right,
that's how it was. But
every year, baby.
Every year.
Now, let me ask you this, because they've changed it recently, and I think you and I have discussed this. It used to be that they would bring IPS schools into the track. What is that? The
Community Day, the
community
Wednesday
day.
Before the race.
No, they stopped doing that.
I know, two years ago.
They changed it up.
There's still a Community Day. It's just
yes.
not at the track. And 2 years ago, it was because there were scheduling issues. With the schools, because it is near the end of the school year.
Well, that's true.
And so sometimes, you know, they have things that they're doing and testing and such. And so I was hoping that they'd be back at the track this year, but they weren't.
No, because now they take the drivers, you know, because we creepily follow them on
the
social media.
We do.
We're creepers. It's okay.
Borderline stalker.
You know, it's not, I've decided it's not stalking.
It's not stalking.
It's my legal opinion.
Unless we think that we have an irrational relationship with them. Like, I don't think that I have... You know, like, I mean, I make jokes about TK, but I don't honestly think that there's any universe where I would have the opportunity to date TK. Whereas if I, like, was actually obsessed with him and I was like, "No, we're madly in love," like, that to me is more of a stalking,
that's
a true,
true
stalking situation.
That is true.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and put the legal opinion down. Not stalking.
Okay. I appreciate the legal stamp on that.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, I wish they would take it back to the track, because when they have it there, they also will let you drive your car around the track.
I'm just saying, the Honda could get out there.
It was super cool, and they took your picture as you crossed the start-finish line. And then you, of course, could order it for money if you wanted to. I drove the 59 Etzel around 1 year.
Oh, that would be really cute.
It was super cool. I was like, I'm driving the Etzel. There was actually 1 year. So the first year I got a bronze badge, I drove like 3 different cars around the track in the same day because I wanted to drive my car around.
Obviously.
And I wanted to drive the Etzel around.
Yeah.
Because it was cool. And I did that earlier in the day. And then it was, I have a nephew whose birthday is always close to the track, close to race weekend. And so I picked him up and we went and like, cause he was at an age where like he could still get in for free, but he was tall enough that I was able to get him through the garages. So people thought he was older, but in actuality he was younger. So I didn't really have to pay for him, but then I was able to sneak him in the garages. So we went around to the garages and all that, but we drove around. So it was, I did it 3 times in 1 day because I didn't have to keep paying. I was like, and so like by the 3rd time I was like, I've already signed this waiver a couple times. Like I still have my old ones. You just want the, but they have you sign it because it's also linked to like a number so that you can go online and get your photos.
I'm just remembering the last time I signed a waiver and I got yelled at for reading it.
Where?
Last year when we had to sign the waiver to go in the pits, I got yelled at for reading the waiver.
Oh, you did. Well, by a friend. I mean, not
I
like.
I feel like you also yelled at me.
Well, because I yelled at you because I said, are you not going to sign it? Like, is there really going to be something in here that's going to cause you to not sign it?
Have you read the waiver?
Yeah, I've read the waiver. It basically says you absolve them of everything, including death.
Everything.
Especially death.
Everything. You know that doesn't weigh well on me.
I know it doesn't, but, you know.
Makes me cranky.
I drive a convertible, so I pretty much take my life into my own hands every time I get in the car. Like, I'm just waiting. It's just, I mean, I'm just waiting for how I'm going to die.
All
right. I mean, when you drive a convertible, my top is a t-shirt, basically. So I just understand if I get into an accident on the interstate, it doesn't fucking matter. Doesn't matter. I can wear a seatbelt. Doesn't matter. I'm going to be decapitated.
Well, this is a really fun podcast. This is very
very uplifting. So I have no qualms about signing my life away to whatever track we're in. Because, I mean, I come face to face with my own mortality every day. It's kind of the...
I get that.
Yeah, the bottom line on that.
All right.
I have read it in its entirety before.
All right.
So.
So I think we both decided as far as the oval and road course. Well,
we like
went
the oval.
Far afield.
We did. Yeah,
but we do love the oval.
We love the ovals.
I think it just comes to being a speed whore.
I think so.
You know, I like road courses. I think they're fun to watch. Don't get me wrong, because when you see somebody start to make that pull out, you're like, oh, shit's about to go down, and then it goes down.
Yes.
But. Time and time again, if I'm at an oval, I'm going to be on my feet 75% of that race.
Oh, yeah.
75% of the race. I am up and doing this move.
Yeah,
peer
looking
down.
Over, trying to see what's happening. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Which, hopefully, we can get our seats moved to standee. We're in the process. And then we won't have to stand up to see as much because we'll be able to see comfortably from our seats, which is important to my fat ass. Although, we always stand for like the first 5 laps because that's what you do. And like the last 5.
You have to.
Because of the pure excitement, I couldn't sit down if I wanted to.
Get out of here, communist.
I rolled my ankle so hard 1 year before one of the races that I thought I broke it, okay? And I am no stranger to spraining my ankle, and I'm not a wuss by any means, but I jacked my ankle up so hard that I thought I broke it.
Wow.
Like, went to the ER, had x-rays, which I'm a nurse, so I never go to the ER.
No.
Unless I'm damn near on my deathbed, okay? We don't go to the ER in our family unless we're dying. This is an actual quote from my mom when I was a kid, and I thought I had, like, broken my leg. She goes, if we get all the way to the ER and your leg isn't broken, you're grounded for a week. So, we don't really go to the...
Let me just say, from a legal standpoint, your mom is not, like, it's not child abuse. So
it's not, no. And for the record, my leg was not broken.
Were you grounded?
No, she didn't actually ground me. The bone was very badly bruised.
Okay.
So that we reached a happy medium there.
Oh, that's all right.
But yeah, so my ankle, I mean, just sprained the shit out of it. I was on crutches for a couple days. I had this whole like walking cast thing, like not a boot, but the like stabilizer. And of course, my mom being who she is, they come in to show me how to use the crutches and all this. And they, you know, have a physical therapist in the ER to teach you how to use the crutches. And she says, okay, you know, she's like, we'll do this, you know, we've got exercise, blah, blah. She goes, I need you to be honest with me, though. We go to the Indy 500 every year, and it's in 2 weeks. Is she going to be able to walk to our seats? And he goes, oh, absolutely. I mean, she's got to wear that brace, but absolutely. So I wore the brace. And I'm like, I was thinking it too, but she just went on an ass.
No, I mean, I get that.
And so I wrapped a checkered bandana around this brace I had that
nice.
Went, you know, more than halfway up my lower leg. And even then with that horribly painful ankle I had, I still stood in the beginning of the game because you just can't. You just can't stay seated.
First of all,
the adrenaline.
Oh my God. That's my favorite moment when they're like, shit, it's about to go green. I mean,
right? When they're like, all right, the pace car's coming into the pits. We're going to go green. It's
oh my God.
I mean, we literally scream.
We do.
We scream. If you're near us,
I'm so sorry. I'm already getting excited.
I know. It makes me
fucking excited. And we've got like 10 months out.
I know. We've got so long until the next Indy. So I hope when we go to Ohio that it's just as exciting.
I really want it to be exciting.
I think it'll be exciting.
I feel like if not, like the Indy girls are going to show these people how we do.
We're going to have to show people how you watch a race.
Bitches, we're from the 500. We're from Speedway. This is how it happens.
This is how shit goes down.
And if you don't like it, get the fuck out of here.
Right? Which, by the way, if anybody is going to the Mid-Ohio race, hit us up on
our
social media. We're going to camp out.
Yeah.
And we decided... we're not going to sit in the grandstands.
We're going to try something new.
We're gonna sit on the spectator mounds.
I'm excited.
For the people.
For the people.
For the people. I would say anarchy for the people.
Anarchy!
Anarchy!
There's no rules!
No glass bottles.
There's one rule.
So, the anarchy joke, by the way, comes from a drinking game that I was playing with my cousins a long time ago.
Doesn't come from Ricky Bobby?
No, it doesn't. No, it's just a thing that I started saying that you just started saying too. And so we were playing the drinking game Asshole, which I don't know if anybody has ever played Asshole. There's various versions of this. But the game Asshole, and if you win 3 times in a row, and so it's similar to the Great Del Moody. And so if you win Asshole, because it's a drinking game, you know, if you lose, you have to drink, and you sit in like your rank of who went out first.
Mm-hmm.
And the last person, rather than being like the greater peon or whatever it is in the Great Del Moody, you're the asshole. And you have a ridiculous hat that you have to wear, and that is determined by each particular group. What the hat is.
Yeah.
And then you are like, you're the beer bitch, you have to shuffle the cards, you have to deal, you have to do all of these different things. And basically you're everybody's bitch until somebody else is the new asshole. And if you are the top person, if you win the top spot 3 times in a row, then you get to make a rule, any kind of rule you want. Well, my cousin Michelle kept winning the top spot, but she cheats at this game, as do I. There's no, and I'm not judging her for that. As do I. In fact, I was nothing but impressed by her skills. And so she made some rule that Dan thought was stupid, and he was like, but how are you going to enforce that? You can't make a rule you can't enforce. And she was like, no, but he was like, anarchy! Anarchy! Power of the people! And Dan had been the asshole like 7 rounds in a row. And so he's like, anarchy! Like trying to overthrow the government of our asshole game.
Really not mad at that, actually.
No, and so that's where I started saying anarchy, power to the people, since
nice.
Then. So power to the people, we're sitting in spectator mounts.
We're sitting in the spectator mounts. I'm excited.
I'm super excited. We will definitely be wearing checkered things. I will probably be wearing my checkered pants. I'm not going to roll the dress.
I might. It depends on the... Well, it's going to be the end of July. I might roll the dress.
It is going to be hot.
I also don't have the checkered pants. And the checkered skirt's a little short, especially over the Porsche curve.
Oh, yeah.
It gets a little high in the back.
So, I ain't mad at you. But we'll let you guys know where we're going to be at. If you're out there, if you're going to the race, or if you're camping, please hit us up.
Seriously, love to meet you.
Yeah, we'd love to meet you, chat with you. We're going to record a podcast from the campground.
We might do a Facebook Live.
Oh, we should do a Facebook Live. And spoiler alert, we'll probably be pretty toasted.
Yes, that's going to be awesome. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, let's do a Facebook Live.
Yes. Oh, shit. I got to figure out how to do one. Okay, I'm sure it's easy.
Yeah, no, we'll be all right.
An idiot.
Although I know from some of the other podcasts I listen to, sometimes when you try to like record something to a podcast thing and you do a Facebook Live at the same time, Facebook's audio fucks up.
No, it's going to be two separate
Okay. things. I was like, Facebook audio fucks up sometimes.
No. It's going to be two
separate. Yeah, we're not playing with that. Okay.
I ain't about that life.
All right, good.
All right. Where in the hell are we?
Well, we're about there,
but we probably need to make our bets for the upcoming race.
Okay.
Are we going to do Iowa and Toronto today, or just Iowa?
Let's just do Iowa. I want to think a minute about Toronto since it's a road course. And I want to see how people do. And also, since I think there's going to be a lot of cautions, I think there might be some drivers that may not be able to race in Toronto, depending on how shit goes down.
Did you put that evil on our racers, Ricky Bobby?
I'm not. I'm just saying. Well, and I hope that Sato's neck is better.
I do, too.
Yeah. I do.
I do, too.
I want to see him finish the season.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Well, he won the 8500. I want to see him finish the season strong. Yeah, he was super nice.
Although I was concerned that I would be racist if I said he was Sato.
I know. I was like, that's Sato. You're like, no, it's not. I was like, yes, it is.
Nope. Anyway. Yeah. All right.
Oh. Okay, so my predictions for Iowa. I think Newgarden's going to win it again.
Ooh, bold choice.
Yep. I mean, I think that he had a hell of a showing at the Kohler Grand Prix.
Yeah?
I think he's hungry. Ooh. I think he's hungry.
He's hungry. Do you want to go, do you want to try 2-3 or do you just want to stay with one?
I'm going to say Newgarden. I'm going to say Dixon in the top three.
Okay.
And I'm going to say TK in the top 10.
Okay. Okay. I like this. All right. I picked 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
This is a, you know, hashtag overachiever.
Yeah, sure.
I picked, who did I pick? Pagenaud, Power, Castro Neves. I actually hated myself in the Dopinski sweep.
Wow.
I know. I'm just upset
Bold
about
words.
The arrow kit.
I know.
It just makes me cranky. What did I say? Power. I even picked Castro Neves, but he is a speed whore. He's an oval speed whore.
Oh, he is. That's true.
I mean,
Pagenaud. I mean.
I don't know. Like, my gut is like, pick Pagenaud. I'm like, why, gut? And he goes, don't question.
Don't ask questions.
Just do it.
Just do things. Yeah.
Also,
don't ask questions.
I don't like his dog, so I'm okay with it.
Right. And, by the way, fun fact we learned this week, Pagenaud, as you know, is French. And he, when he first came to Penske, he does an amazing
Jean Girard
impression from Talladega Nights and, like, just harassed Bill Power. And was like,
because apparently they raced together beforehand.
They had raced together beforehand or and against one another. And he was like, "I am coming for you, Will Pella." Like, and so he does this whole Jean Girard thing.
Looks like him, though.
And he does kind of look. I mean, he sounds just like
he
him. I mean, because
different.
Obviously the French accent, but like,
right? But he's just got that tone and everything. It's great.
And everything, and it's just hilarious.
I appreciate that.
In fact, all the Penske guys, they actually have all these videos out on their Tumblr and on their social media of them just doing stupid shit together and then laughing their asses off at each other, and it's hilarious.
Which is basically us right here.
It's basically us right here, only they're famous and we're not.
No.
Yet.
Not at all.
Yet.
Yet. Yet. They did one, shout out to my mom, they did one where they had to say the alphabet backwards, and I don't want to start something between my mom and Will Power. But Will Power, if you ever hear this, my mother could say the alphabet backwards faster than you can. I'll put money on it. I'll put my next full paycheck on it.
All right. That's okay.
Tough talk, but Teresa Hellicker could.
I believe it.
Knock it out.
She's got lots of skills.
You just don't know. She's sneaky.
She is she's unpredictable is what she is.
Yes.
She's unpredictable. You never know where Teresa's going to lie on something. You
never know.
Just to let you know how unpredictable she is. So we did a little thing this past December. called Liquor and Lights. Liquor and Lights. And
which is great. We're going to do it this year.
And we're going to do it this year again. Yeah, so hashtag Liquor and Lights. And the Brickyard did Lights at the Brickyard.
Which
so,
is fantastic. And as somebody whose family, and you can attest to this,
yeah.
It goes all out.
So if you've ever seen lights. Christmas Vacation and how their holiday decorations are, Molly's family makes that movie look
chintzy,
subdued.
Yeah,
chintzy. Yeah, that it. I mean, Molly's house when we were growing up, her parents. I mean, it would just look like Christmas vomited in and on their house. Every room has a Christmas tree,
mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like every main room. No, I mean
every
bedroom,
room.
Every bathroom.
Yep.
The fucking garage had a tree.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now there was one real tree always.
Oh. Always a real tree.
Always one real one. The rest were artificial. And actually, a really cool tradition you guys had that I love,
mm-hmm.
And I told other people about this, because they would have this huge Christmas party,
mm-hmm.
And so all of the other trees would be decorated except for the real one. And it would, and they would have the box of ornaments out, and so when you came in, you'd, you know, give your hugs and kisses,
yep.
Put your coat up, and then you'd go right into the front room.
Yeah.
You'd pick an ornament, and then you would put it somewhere on the tree. So the tree was never decorated the same every year, because, you know, different people would grab different ornaments and they'd be placed in different places. And so, but then the rest of the season, you know, it was like this tree was decorated by all their closest friends and family. That was one of my favorite parts about that party.
I love that. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things ever.
And it was super fun. But yeah, so they go all out.
So we go all out. So when they said they were going to do this year, I was like, done.
Sold.
We're celebrating.
We're going.
This.
We're doing this. So our families got together and we went to my sister's house because it's not far from the track. And so we had a couple of designated drivers and we decided we would go, we'd eat a little bit of food, we'd get a little drunk, and then we'd go and look at Christmas lights.
We really can't post those pictures from.
No, we can't. And so, and by, when I say we got a little drunk, I mean, we got wasted.
Toasted.
As my younger sister, Beth, said, I'm shit-faced every time I leave the track, and the lights were no exception.
Oh my gosh, we got so shit. We had somebody who had an early morning flight the next day, too.
We did have somebody who had an early morning flight the next day, and they were hurting.
His whole planning.
Two people may or may not have had to exit their vehicle to covertly urinate somewhere, because the line to get in was very long. And so
somebody's mother also may or may not have tried to set a new track record on this.
Yeah,
front straightaway.
Somebody may have tried to set a record for speed on the front straightaway.
It happens.
But yeah, Teresa, she had so many amazing one-liners that night. And she just was throwing shade.
She was
throwing shade left and right. And she said a couple smart things that even I turned. I was like, really, Teresa? And she just laughed. And she said something smart to you. And you said something smart back. And she didn't even miss a beat. She goes, I should have aborted you. And my mother, who is typically finds most things hilarious, even she goes, Teresa. She was just horrified. So bottom line, Teresa's unpredictable. You just never know what's going to come out of her mouth.
I mean, that's why I love her. So it's okay.
So yeah, I would, I'd love to see her and Willpower battle it off.
Oh, I think she'd win.
I think so.
I mean, she tried to set the new track record in the BMW, so I'd almost throw in a driving competition.
Yeah.
I've seen her play some Mario Kart. I've seen her play some shooting games.
She's very competitive.
She's super competitive.
Yeah. Is that red hair?
It is. Yeah.
She's feisty.
She is feisty.
She's just naturally feisty.
She is. Love you, Mom. She listens to us, though.
Yeah, she does. My mom doesn't yet. Will she?
I don't know. Time will tell.
Apparently, she knows how to. She just hasn't.
Oh, well, that's... I don't know how to say about that.
She's very busy. I mean, my feelings aren't hurt about it. She's
okay.
Extremely busy.
Okay.
She's basically got two full-time jobs.
That's true.
She works a full-time job as a nurse here in Indianapolis, and then she also... volunteers for Postpartum Support International, an international organization for women with perinatal mood disorders. And so she also does speaking gigs on the side, and those she does get paid for. But everything she does specifically, I mean, and she represents PSI, but, you know, when she does things, conferences, you know, with PSI and works on their, all their curriculum and things like that, that's, you know, she's pretty much just doing that for free.
Yeah.
So she's got, like, you know,
she's
two and a half
woman,
jobs,
too.
Basically. So she's pretty busy. And I keep her updated on what we say.
That's
so
true.
She's aware. I mean, we live together, so.
But there is that.
She's aware. She's aware of what's going on.
All right.
Okay.
Is it time? Oh, no. I hit the button. Well.
Damn touch screens.
Shit we didn't make up. Did you know the Iowa 300 course was designed by a NASCAR driver? And I think, if I remember my Google search, it was Rusty Waltrip.
Rusty. That's a NASCAR name.
Rusty Waltrip. How NASCAR could you get?
That's very NASCAR.
Almost like Dick Trickle. Another NASCAR driver. That's right. You're welcome. You're welcome, everybody.
Dick Trickle.
I swear to God, that's a NASCAR driver.
That sounds like a porn star name is what that sounds like.
I don't know if I'd like that for a porn star.
Anyway, so I did not know it was designed by a NASCAR driver.
A lot of NASCAR tracks apparently are that D shape.
Huh.
NASCAR really likes the D.
NASCAR loves the D. You heard it here first, people. NASCAR loves the D.
Let's go ahead and put everybody from NASCAR on the list. Never coming on.
Yeah, hashtag NASCAR loves the D. And I'm tweeting that out today.
Hashtag
for my
shit
personal
out.
Account, okay? That's not even going on Fast Cars, Fast Girls. I'm going to troll them on my personal account.
Oh,
NASCAR loves the D.
We're going to be banned from the Brickyard. We haven't even got
NASCAR, you're not the only one.
Ooh.
Oh! Okay. So, Andretti, well, it was Andretti Green, bought the assets to the Honda Indy track back in 2008.
Oh, really?
And then what else did you say on there?
Oh, it was during that whole reunification between Champ, Kart, and IRL. Which, like, we'll totally get to that later on. So I've decided to call the whole IndyCar, Champ Car, Kart Car, when they had the huge split, the Troubles.
See, I was going to go with Chuckle Fuckery.
I'm okay with that, too. So, just spoiler alert, there's a whole bunch of shit that went down.
Yeah.
That we will cover later, because it's going to take a whole podcast to go through.
Yeah.
Because it's a shit show.
At the end of it, I mean, the quick and dirty is, IRL's the best, and that's why they won.
Basically, yes.
Basically. But we'll get into more details.
Yeah, no worries. But yeah, this was happening when there was a whole reunification of everybody coming back together and singing Kumbaya. So a lot of like races and tracks were like, oh my God, what's going to happen to us? And then like Andretti was like, it's cool. So that's why they signed a deal with Honda. Hashtag Team Honda.
All right.
I'm really hoping Honda sponsors our podcast. I mean, they won't.
It'd be nice if they did though.
But I will wear Honda shit every time.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a polo somewhere that's Honda from when I used to work for.
Oh, that's true.
I need to break it out.
I mean, come on, Honda. You make good cars.
I love my Civic.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So, shit we didn't make up, guys. Lots of shit about Iowa and Toronto.
Speaking of NASCAR, we are taking the shit show on the road.
I'm taking the shit show on the road.
And we're going to go to the Brickyard 400, although it's called something else now, but whatever.
I don't know. It's...
It will always be the Brickyard 400 to us.
Last year it was Crown Royal.
It was Crown Royal for a while.
And now it's the country star name Brickyard 400.
That's stupid.
Burks Gently. Gently Burks.
Dierks Bentley?
Maybe. I don't know.
Is that like a country star?
No, nope, we're going to Google it. We're going to Google it.
That is random as fuck.
Yep. You know what? Hold on.
All right, she's going to Google it. So Molly's going to go to the 400 Fan Fest with our rookie fan of the year.
So excited.
Audie. And so they're going to do that on Saturday.
It's going to be epic.
Yep.
I mean, I'd say find us, but it's not going
to
happen.
Not going to happen. This dumb bitch has to work that day. So I will be joining in the morning after I get off work, which I've already... I'm just going to be a little cranky. I'm going to need you to just be okay with that. Because I'm going to get off work at 3:30 in the morning. And I'm going to drive from Fort Wayne to Indy and get home about 5:45.
I'm actually not going to see you until...
Oh, that's right. So I should have been able to shake all the bitch out of my personality by the time I see you.
I mean, you should be able to.
Yeah. So, oh, okay, good. That'll give me a little bit of time because, you know, when I first wake up, I'm just not nice. I saw a t-shirt one time and it was like, I'm sorry for saying fuck you to you when you told me good morning. And that's pretty much me every morning. It takes me a little bit of time to kind of shake things out of my system and come to terms with the fact that I have to be awake and alert and interact with other human beings. And that I have to act like a, you know, responsible member of society. And so, yeah. So that's what, and so sometimes that gets replicated when I have to stay up all night, which is what I'll be doing. I mean, I might take like a little nap.
Go for it.
Right. I mean, you're not going to care. Molly's actually going to be in the garage area representing
here's the deal. I think we're going to get like an RV or something.
Okay. So you'll be in the infield, like, that area right behind the pagoda, probably.
Probably. So, look for us. I'm going to be hanging out with the other folks from the Indiana Donor Network.
IDN, Indiana Donor Network. Some people know them by their old name as IOPO.
Yes.
So, if you're like, who the heck is Indiana Donor Network? They used to be known as IOPO.
Whole rebranding.
Which, whole rebranding, and a lot of people still call them IOPO, though they're IDN.
I am a like registered advocate, and I still have to be like, nope. Don't call it IOPO.
JK. So the Indiana Donor Network, they do great work.
We do. We're there for the hashtag Driven to Save Lives campaign, which is all about race car drivers who, unfortunately, some of them pass. And we've had some great support from former drivers' families and stuff like that. I'm excited to see what happens with NASCAR.
Yes.
So
now, do they have Driven to Save Lives drivers in NASCAR as well?
I don't... Oh, shit. I probably should have looked at... Yes.
Hopefully someone will stop by.
We do, because a couple of guys have won the poll and have donated
their poll winnings
to the Driven to Save Lives.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I will make it up to them. I will figure out who it is.
Yeah, so we can support them. Because we do support anybody who supports the Indiana Donor Network.
Yeah.
So stop by, say hi to Molly, learn about organ donation and why it's important.
I'll be shaking. I'll be stopping
shaking
it.
Hands and kissing babies. Molly will be running for mayor.
You come by that place, I'm instantly grabbing her, like, "Hey, how are you? Good morning. What are you doing today?
What are you doing with your organs after you die?
Hey, when you die, what happens to your organs?" Just wondering.
Just wondering. And you know, honestly, like, if you are a little leery about, you know, organ donation, if it kind of creeps you out, if the thought of it kind of bothers you, and you want to have an honest conversation about that, that's fine. We're not going to judge you or anything.
No.
We are happy to just answer questions.
Seriously.
You know, I can, you know, we can give you a more in-depth of, like, you know, how the process works, what exactly happens, and all of this. Because most of the time, you know, the more that you know about something, the more comfortable you feel with it. And so usually it's just, you know, that you might not understand exactly what goes into it. And the more you know about it, then the less, you know, the less that it gives you the heebie-jeebies.
Basically, hashtag the more you know.
The more you know. And also for me, so I've always been pro-organ donation, but I always said that one of the things that creeped me out was cornea transplants.
Huh.
And I don't know why, but it just the idea, like, yeah, just the idea of, like, you know, when my mom passes, of somebody, you know, like, cutting part of her eyes out, like, it just creeped me out. And for the longest time, I would say, you know, I'm okay with it in theory, but in actuality, like, it just kind of gives me the willies a little bit. And my mom would always say, I don't know. She goes, well, I don't give a shit if it bothers you. I have 20/20 vision and I'm donating my corneas. And, you know, and I was like, I'm not going to stop anybody from taking your eyes. It just kind of gives me the willies. And, you know, she was like, well, that's fine, but it's still happening. And then a friend of mine, Lisha, she has an eye disease where her eyesight, her vision will get progressively worse and worse. And in one of her eyes, she's actually gotten to the point where she cannot see anything clearly. She can just see, like, shadows of things. And so eventually, without a cornea transplant, she will be legally blind. Mm-hmm. She will go blind. I mean, and she's our age. She's 33.
Yeah.
And so, you know, once that happened and it was something that affected somebody close to me and I realized the only cure for her is a cornea transplant, well, then it didn't really give me the willies anymore because I thought, okay, the fact that it makes me a little uneasy is a lot less important than the fact that it would give her the gift of sight.
Yeah, I get that.
So, you know, sometimes it's just knowing somebody close to you or, you know, just having a better understanding of how things work.
I get that.
And a lot of people think that, you know, the organ donation people come in and you know, and that doctors aren't going to treat your family member because, you know, oh, they want these organs. Let me tell you, we don't get any kickbacks, okay? We literally get nothing from Indiana Donor Network as nurses, as hospital practitioners. And we certainly don't not treat your family, your family member, because they are an organ donor. In fact, we don't have any information about that when somebody comes into the hospital. So we do everything we can for somebody. And if it's a situation where, you know, they are definitely not going to survive or they are brain dead or all of these other things, you know, then that's when Indiana Donor Network gets involved. And it's kind of one of those, you know, this is a really bad situation. But maybe we can do something to make it a little bit better. And it gives a lot of families closure. And it, you know, not that anything makes it okay when you lose a loved one,
that's
but
true.
It gives them a sense of closure and a sense, you know, kind of starts some of the healing process, knowing that at least this loved one didn't die completely in vain, that some good was able to come from it.
Yeah. And you know, if you ever want to speak to somebody on the opposite end, I know that I will talk to you. I'm a daughter. My father was a double lung transplant recipient. And he's always given me the go ahead to tell his story. And, you know, he likes to tell his story. So, you know. It changed our life for the better.
Absolutely.
Thankful every day. Thankful every day. You know, there's a Facebook news story recently about a guy who met his donor family. And every time I see those, I start to cry. Because
oh, yeah.
It changes your life on both ends. And I know that those who have lost loved ones suffer greatly.
Absolutely.
And I can only hope that somebody out there knows that when their loved one died, I got to spend right now, well, almost 5 years. We're coming up to 5 years with my dad. And it's exciting every day.
I mean, I remember when your dad was in the hospital before we found a donor. And our family's been friends for a long time. And, you know, your parents let people know what the diagnosis was and that, but they didn't necessarily let everybody know how serious it truly was. They kind of kept that under wraps.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he was on the donor list, everybody was like, oh, we're so excited. And then he was in the hospital. And I remember talking to my mom and I said, you know, Chick really needs a donor soon. And she said, is it that bad? And I said, he's going to be dead in 6 months if he doesn't get lungs.
I will tell you, spoiler alert, the weekend he got his lungs, about that Friday beforehand, his doctor looked at my mother and I. And we all, I mean, it was a very stressful time. So there's different views of what he said. But I remember him saying he might not last through the weekend. If we don't get something by this weekend, we're really going to have to decide what we have to do next.
Yeah, like we're going to have to look at comfort care.
Comfort care, maybe transferring to somewhere else. But we got him, and I get to see him.
Yep, and now we still have your dad around, so.
I mean, you know, decide if that's good or bad. Whatever.
For the most part, it's good. He still throws us a shade occasionally, though.
Always.
In fact, he started listening this week to our podcast and just started serial texting Molly with
let me just tell you, criticisms. He didn't say, good job. It was, here's what you need to fix.
Right? Which is such a dad thing to
do.
I mean, you know that he liked it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have listened any more than just one. But immediately, he's like, let me give the list of things you should do better.
Here's what needs to change.
Are things that we already knew, which was that I need to talk slower.
And I need to talk louder.
Yes. And I think I've done better this podcast. We'll find out when I listen, because I also realized last time I said the word maybe 4,500 times. And so I thought to myself, I'm gonna have to make myself do something to not say quite so many times.
It's a new drinking game.
Yeah. Or, I mean, but I don't feel like that's really a punishment for me.
No, not for you, for everybody else.
Oh, that's true.
There you go.
That's true. So, but... So I've tried to talk slower, so we'll see.
You've done a lot better.
I've done better. I think I've done better. It helped to have the beer in the shower, too. Kind of chill me out.
A little lemon.
Yeah, because that's another thing is that typically when I get here, it's the beginning of my day. And so I've drank a bunch of caffeine, where it's at the end of Molly's day. So she's a little more relaxed. And I am not. I'm just getting in the, woo, I got laundry to do and things to do because I have to go back to work tomorrow.
Shit, do you have to go back to work tomorrow?
I do have to go back to work tomorrow. I know. Fuck me, right?
Well, I mean, I have to go to work tomorrow, so whatever. But
I know. It's just tomorrow, and then I'm off. Then I'm off Friday and Saturday, so that's nice.
That is nice.
And you know what I'm doing Friday and Saturday? Starting to pack for Hawaii.
So excited.
So you guys will get a podcast from the beach this week.
Yes, definitely happening.
We might be recording in an airport. Depends on a layover.
On what happens?
Depends on how loud
like
it
the
is.
Sound?
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a Facebook Live from the airport.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
We could do a little, like, Iowa update Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm all about this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is happening.
We got to start inviting people to our Facebook group. I'm sorry. I was in charge of that this week. We have a Facebook fan page. It's Fast Cars, Fast Girls. And Molly went ahead and grabbed it because she wanted to make sure nobody else had it. And I told her this week that I said, I will get on there. We'll upload pictures. I'm going to invite people. And I had all kinds of great plans. And, I just had a shit show of a week at work.
Well, people are shooting shit off.
Again, I work in a surgical trauma ICU, and it was a holiday weekend. Fourth of July wasn't on the weekend, but I worked over the weekend, and people always get crazier in the summer and do dumb shit. Men ages 15 to 35, I'm looking at you. People mix alcohol with poor choices, and so it was just, it was a goddamn goat rodeo.
Yeah, I was getting some texts from you.
Yeah. In fact, I was out on a break, and I'm sitting in my car having a quote-unquote respiratory treatment, a.k.a. I like to snack on some food at my desk, and then I like to smoke like a chimney on my breaks.
Yeah.
We all have to do different things to wind down.
You got to get through your day.
I had been crazy busy, and I finally go out to have a minute, and I was looking at a few things online, this and that, and I'm texting Molly, and we're discussing our plans for Hawaii and plans for this podcast and this and that. And then I hear the helicopter land, which,
oh my God, I don't know if I could find that text.
The text started, God damn it!
Yes!
God damn it! The fucking helicopter is landing.
I was like, oh, well, game over for me.
I guess my break's over, because unless they're coming from another hospital, it's usually a trauma, which means they're coming to my unit. So when I hear that helicopter, I used to get excited, but not since I started working on this unit. Now I hear the helicopter, I'm like, fuck, I have an open bed. Damn it.
No, Jesus, why?
Damn it.
Okay.
Although, I don't know. I worked overtime last week, and I worked a lot of days in a row this week as well. My ass was dragging. My ass was dragging a touch. Normally, I don't mind. I like the crazy stuff, but yeah, this week I heard the helicopter, and I just, God damn it!
Not about that life.
I'm not about that life. So I will try to be better about the Facebook page this week, I promise.
All right. Because one of us has to know social media. Well, let me rephrase that.
Well, you've got Instagram.
I do.
Well, you already said that you like Instagram the best.
I do like the Insta.
I mean, I've done a lot of work on the Insta.
I do it all for the gram.
You do?
I do.
You love the IG.
I do.
So, okay.
So the 22nd, 23rd, we're going to be at the Brickyard. I don't know if we know our seat yet.
No, we're probably going to be in Southwest Vista.
All right, Southwest Vista, find us. We're going to be wearing checkered, I figure, for that one, too.
Oh, we definitely will.
Yeah, because
yeah,
we have to.
Well, we're either going to be checkered or we're going to go super white trash bash.
So, whatever.
Or combo.
Just, you know, text at us. Tweet at us. We'll tell you where we are. We'll find you.
Yeah, don't text us. We're not going to give you our numbers.
No, nope. I regretted that.
Yeah.
Let's see. After the Brickyard, we're going to go to the Honda.
Honda 8200 at Mid-Ohio.
Road course.
And there's some indie camping guys that we have found on Twitter that we're gonna DM. We're going to try and slide into those DMs.
You're going to I feel like we already know that I cannot handle DMs.
I'll handle it. Well, no, I clearly.
I freak the fuck out and throw my phone at this point.
Yeah,
I don't know what
I know. Doing. I'll handle all the DMing. All
right, cool.
I got the D. I'll handle the D, Molly. I'll handle the D.
So we're going to be camping. We're leaving.
It's the 29th.
We're leaving
the 29th and the 30th of July. So
that's Saturday.
Yep. And we should, yeah, we will, like, yeah, we're going to do a podcast on there, Facebook Live. It'll be a good time. And then
find
you.
Find us. Love to talk to you.
And our rookie of the year going to the Bomarto 500.
And then one day, hopefully soon, by the way, here's some news. They're looking at a race in Portland.
Really?
I just saw this kind of like news article out there. They're talking about a road course in Oregon. It's being floated, Portland.
Oh.
So.
Let's do
it. If you set that up, I can visit my brother.
It's true. Molly's little brother was out there, so we can see Triple H.
We can see the H-Man in Seattle. Drop on down to Portland.
We call him that, by the way, because all of his initials are H. H-H-H. Middle. First, middle, and last name.
I'm just saying IndyCar. Why not Portland?
Why not? Heck yeah.
Or Seattle. Seattle would be better for me. But Portland's okay.
I've never been to either, so I'm fine with either.
So pretty. So.
Yeah, anyway. I've never been to the Pacific Northwest.
Ooh.
It's so on the pretty. Bucket list.
So pretty.
So. Well, I think that about wraps it up. With that, we aren't going to have much to talk about, but here we are at over an hour.
I know. We had other things to talk about, and we said no.
Well, it's because we slowed down the talking, I think.
Yeah, it might be.
There's probably not as much info in this one. We just are talking at half
speed. I think
there's
a lot of info.
No, there is a lot of info. So, well,
what else to say?
I think that's it. We're going to throw in some fun facts about me and Molly in the upcoming podcast so you guys can get to know us a little bit better if you care. Oh, I also, so we can look on Podbean and see stats for like how many podcasts have been downloaded,
yep.
Our most popular episodes, this and that, which there were a lot for the first one because I, told all my family to listen and then it's kind of dropped off. So I'm going to have to send out some harassing texts.
Yeah, I feel like
so,
it's going to happen. Yes.
So if you're related to me, expect a text this week. but it's kind of dropped off. But you can also see where in the country people are downloading things.
Surprisingly,
so,
we do really well in Indiana. Obviously. We also do well in California.
We do, which thank you people from California.
Hey,
we love California.
California.
Yeah.
Knows how to party. That's right. That just happened.
Yeah, it did. We love Cali, so please keep listening. And we don't know if this is legit or if it's just the location of somebody's phone messed up, but it shows us that we have a listener in Ireland and a listener in France.
So, bonjour, ça va, bien, et tout?
Right, merci.
Merci, merci.
For listening, and sláinte, Ireland. We love
hey,
you.
Hey, Ireland.
We're both Irish, so... So, yeah. So, if you are actually in Ireland or France, please set us up on social media.
Seriously?
Yeah. And let us know how you got involved in watching IndyCar and, you know, anything else.
I'd like to pretend that it's Derek Daly and Simon Pagenaud.
I would love for it to be Derek Daly and Simon Pagenaud.
No, that's not true.
No.
It's not true at all. So.
It's not. But it'd be great if it was.
Whomever it is, bonjour.
Thanks for listening.
Ça va? And hit us up on social media.
And everybody else who listens, thank you for listening.
Seriously, guys. Hit us up on social media. Please, we will answer any questions you have. Twitter is fastcars317. Instagram is fastcarsfastgirls.
That was Molly looking at who's calling her phone. That was caller ID. That oh no was for her caller ID.
Yes,
I whatever. Won't say who it was. Suffice it to say, everybody who's ever said, oh no, you know it's either family or an ex.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Instagram, fastcarsfastgirls. Tumblr. FastCarsFastGirls317.
Yep.
And our email, FastCarsFastGirls317@gmail.com.
By the way, anything we say is our views, our opinions. We do not represent anybody we are or are not affiliated with. It's basically just me and her. That's it. Also, by the way, Sarah Fisher, Pippa Mann, any female fans involved in racing at this point, You know what? We would love to talk to you, especially when we're out there.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you guys on the show. We'd love to take questions. We'd Skype with you.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I know how to do Skype.
Well, I meant Skype recording and all of that.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha. I'm like, I can Skype.
I can Skype.
I can do that. So, but yeah, anybody, if you think you've got something fun to talk about, you'd like to fucking fireworks again. I swear
God
to God.
Damn it.
I hate this fucking holiday. I don't. I love America. I just hate dumbasses with fireworks. I'm sorry. I just became like everybody's grumpy old man neighbor right
there. I mean,
there.
That's me all
get off my lawn!
Oh, my
okay.
God.
Okay. Anyhow, if you want to be on our podcast, let us know. We'd love to talk to you. You guys have a great week. Thanks for listening.
See you guys.